Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
51551 is our text number. A dog is for life, not just as a fashion accessory. That's not a message that anyone should really have to be told. But the trend of certain dog breeds rising and falling in popularity, and of people wanting the Cavalier with the longest ears, the Pug with the flattest face, the Dachshund with the longest body and shortest legs. That's causing huge health problems for the animals and leading to deeply unethical practices in puppy farming. Well, Kathleen Murray, our dog behaviour expert, is with us now. And we also have Corina Fitzsimons from the Dogs Trust on the line too. And you're both welcome. Corina, people can picture some of the examples I've just described there, the little flat faces, the pointy ears, the very short legs. What are the main dog breeds that you come across at the Dogs Trust that have those issues?
Pugs and English bulldogs are particularly susceptible to what's called BOAS. It's brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, which isn't very easy to say quickly. But basically, it would be like you trying to hike up a mountain and all you could breathe through was a straw. Mm-hmm. So it drastically affects their quality of life, their exercise tolerance. They can't cope with the heat. And then we have other breeds like Cavaliers that you mentioned, that they have a condition called syringomyelia. They're very susceptible to this. And this is basically fluid in the spinal cord spaces. The little Dachshunds often have intervertebral disc disease, which means that they have a lot of issues walking because of the length of their spine. And they're actually 10 to 12 times more likely to have this than other dog breeds.
And are those problems, do they have to become part of that dog's life for the rest of that dog's life, or can any of them be addressed?
Well, in this the condition called BOAS, that would depend on veterinary advice. There, it could be medication, it could be surgery, and the surgery itself is quite risky because what's happened is the dogs have been bred solely for what they look like on the outside. And because they have all the same anatomy as a dog, like a collie, but it's squashed into that smaller space, it doesn't work as well. So the surgery is risky, but in some cases, there is no other option but to do the surgery to give the dog a quality of life and enable them to be able to breathe.
And Kathleen, you will have seen many different breeds over the years. I know. How do you feel about the designer breeds, the ones that have become really popular?
Well, yeah, a lot of changes have been made over the years with dog breeds, and dogs that were bred years and years ago were probably bred better and more thoughtfully, believe it or not. They had more freedom. But, you know, there's an onus on breeders to actually take a look at what they're breeding and to make sure that that's a healthy dog that can actually operate properly, that its nose functions properly, because all of those restrictions that were just talked about, they can have a detrimental effect on the dog's health, but also on their mental health, because they can cause behavioural problems as well. Because if you're medically unfit, you're not able to go for walks, you're not having a good time, you don't want to be forced to do things because you literally can't breathe, or you have an awful pain in your head. You know yourself, you're going to turn around and snap at somebody at some stage, or you're going to want to try to get out of the situation. So all round, that's a big failure for dogs in my eyes.
And just looking at the breed pugs, would you just turn around to somebody who was thinking of getting a pug because they like the look of them and say, don't?
Oh, definitely. And I have done. I would definitely not advocate any of those breeds at all. And breeding, you know, in general, has a huge responsibility because you really have to look at a lot of things when you're breeding. And when the designer dogs all came in, it was like almost that they needed to match the couch. They needed to match your handbag. You know, it wasn't even about the dog anymore. It was about the colour, the size, the cuteness. Nobody was even looking at what happened, you know, during socialisation or lack of it. The problems that come as a result of that as the dog starts to grow. You know, breeders, as I say, it all goes back to that's where it all starts. It's where it all begins there. And if you have a proper breeder, then they'll be looking at things like that. And the onus is really on breeders to have that dog socialised and ready to go to its new home. By the time it gets to its new home at around 8 weeks or so, that dog already needs to have learned an awful lot. And if they're not being bred in the right way, you know, and they're not being socialised within the breeding place where they're living, then there is a severe mental disadvantage when they come out. And that can lead to anxieties and aggressions and behaviour problems of all kinds.
Mm-hmm. And that's for all dogs, all breeds of dogs, isn't it? The socialisation issues.
Absolutely. But the designer dogs in particular, if you've got mixed breeds, like you have a cockapoo, that's a mixture between a cocker spaniel and a poodle, or you have a Pouchon, anything with a poo in it, basically, is kind of mixed up. Well, the poo in this case stands for poodle. But, you know, you don't know which temperament that puppy has taken. Is it more like the cocker spaniel? Is it more like the poodle in temperament? You know, you need to know your dogs. You need to know what you've got, because some of the litter could have taken on the traits of the poodle and some can take on the traits of the cocker spaniel. And cocker spaniels and poodles were bred for two entirely different things. They may have different, you know, genetic predispositions to different medical things. You need to look into an awful lot more than just the colour and the size of the dog. You know, there's a huge amount involved in it.
Yeah, and some of those cockapoos and other ones, as Kathleen says, Karina, that have poo in the name, they were bred because people, well, like the look of them. They're beautiful dogs, but also they were deemed to have less dander and less hair drop. Is that true of those dogs?
Yeah, it's a clever marketing ploy that the dogs were given these names, like Cockapoo and Maltishan and things like that. And generally speaking, people are told these dogs are hypoallergenic. They do shed less. Curly dogs do shed less, but they still do shed, and they still do produce dander, which is kind of like the little skin flakes you may not even see. And sometimes people can be allergic to their hair, they can be allergic to the skin or dander, they can be allergic to saliva. So there is no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people really need to be aware of. To be honest, what we would say is, if you're thinking of getting any breed of dog, is to do a lot of research and talk to your vet, because there's so many unscrupulous breeders out there. They prey on people who don't know a lot about dogs. And the majority of people would assume that if somebody's selling them a dog, they love dogs. And unfortunately, that's often not the case. There are many reputable breeders who breed, you know, they put a lot of effort into it. They do genetic testing. They visit their vets regularly, etc. But there are a lot of unscrupulous breeders who prey on people who love dogs. And if you go online and arrange to meet somebody, it's very, very unlikely, once you lock eyes with that puppy, that you're going to turn around and get back in your car and drive off, even if you suspect there's something wrong. And they're kind of relying on you doing that. And unfortunately, you may think, I can give this dog everything it needs, you know, as I raise it and et cetera. But like Kathleen said, if that dog hasn't had the first 8 weeks of its life and been socialised and habituated, and it hasn't had good genetic background, love is not going to fix that, unfortunately. And that dog could have issues for the rest of its life.
It's really tough, though, because you can imagine if you see a dog in a bad situation on a puppy farm, and I get what you're saying, but you will feel like you can rescue that dog and that you should rescue that dog.
Of course, that's natural human instinct. We're going to see something small and vulnerable and want to save it. That's, you know, that's what we do. And that's what they're relying on. But all we're effectively doing is creating space for another puppy to be bred into that situation and subjecting the parents to a lifetime of misery. And it's very, very hard. It's easy to say that, but when you're there and in the situation, it's very hard. And that's why we just say, as a general rule, just don't look for dogs online. Please, please speak to your vet or go to your local rescue centre if you can.
Do you agree with that walk away advice when you see that puppy, Kathleen?
Yes, I suggest you don't go and see that puppy in the first place, really, because if you want to go, if you want a puppy, you want a dog of a particular breed, you need to be going to a breeder who specialises in that particular dog. And that breeder will know that dog inside out if they're a good breeder. And they won't have a pile of other breeds there as well. So if you go to a reputable breeder, chances are you'll probably see the mother and father of that puppy. And if you meet somebody halfway in a van or somewhere, or which is, can be genuine, but you know, I suggest people go to the actual breeder and see what they're breeding from. You know, because that helps an awful lot. And then you know what you've got and you know what you're getting. But there are developmental stages that need to be dealt with. And that's where, you know, by the time you've got the puppy, that puppy needs to have learned a lot of things and be happy, you know, with a lot of things. And one of them is like, up until about 13 days, the mother takes care of that puppy by itself, feeds it and looks about its needs and things. But, you know, between 14 and 49 days, that's when that puppy starts to get socialised. You know, by the time 3 months comes around, that puppy should have learned everything it really needs to learn, and it should only be building on it after that. So, you know, around, you know, from 2 weeks on, it needs to be around other dogs. Now, this is a thing where there's going to be a discrepancy between what the vets will say and what behaviourists will say, because from a mental health point of view, that puppy needs to be socialised. From a veterinary medical point of view, that puppy needs to be vaccinated. You know, do they need to improve vaccines? Do they need to vaccinate puppies younger? I don't know what they want to do about that. But those puppies are missing out on an awful lot if they can't be around other animals, because this is, they're programmed to experience certain things at certain times. And if they don't, they've missed those opportunities, and they're very hard to get back.
It's a really interesting point. And Corinne, I don't know if you have a view on that, because you are told by your vet you've got to keep that little puppy away from other dogs until it's fully vaccinated. But you heard what Kathleen said there. What's your own view?
It's trying to strike that balance. If you have another dog at home who's already vaccinated, if you have a close friend or family member that you know has their dog's vaccines up to date and that dog is healthy, you could introduce the dogs in, you know, in the other person's garden. Or I think the main advice from vets is not to bring dogs outside to the outside world, like to parks and gardens where there could have been things they could pick up. So, it, you know, once you speak to your vet, get their advice and make sure that the other dog's vaccinations tell them what they are, and ask them for their advice on that. But I understand, yes, it's trying to strike that balance.
Yes, and get it all right. Corinna, thank you very much. Corinna Fitzsimons from Dogs Trust, and Kathleen Murray, who's our dog behavioural expert, who we know very well on this programme. We'll be back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.